أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: إنه من يتقي ويصبر فإن الله لا يضيع أجر المحسنين. صلوات عليك. We've gathered this evening to commemorate the wafat of our ninth Imam, Imam Muhammad Taqi al-Jawad alayhi salatu wa salam. Our ninth Imam is the youngest of the Imam to reach to that position. The first one in that list. And he's also youngest when it comes to the time of his Shahadat. He was 25 years old only. And I started this khutbah at the end. I recited an ayat from Surah Yusuf, ayat number 90, which is a statement where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is quoting from a young prophet, where Yusuf says, when his brothers came to him later on in Egypt, he says, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرُ. Verily, the person who exercises taqwa and maintains sabr and patience, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيُّ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not waste the reward of the good doers. And so then in that statement of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam among the young prophets, you know, it actually fits in with the occasion of our youngest of the Imam, where he talks about two important qualities where a person can gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also attain this level of, you know, acceptance of his or her good deeds. One is taqwa and the other is sabr. Taqwa is a spiritual power. It is this ability which stops us from committing sins. And sabr is actually that power which actually helps us in dealing with the element of greed. And also it helps us in dealing with the tragedies and sufferings that we go through in our dunya. The importance of that, and especially keeping in mind that the famous laqab and famous title of the ninth Imam was At-Taqi, and we talked about it. You know why call him At-Taqi? He is the youngest of the Imams. But keeping that in mind, let me begin with this hadith of Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. In a wasiyyat, an advice that he wrote for one of his sons. And it is in Nahj al-Balagha. Of course, there is a discussion whether this refers to Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba or it refers to Muhammad Hanafiya, irrespective of that. This is the advice of Imam al-Muttaqeen to his young, you know, son. The very first thing that he says, وَعْلَمْ يَا بُنَيَّ, you should know, my son, أَنَّ أَحَبَّ مَا أَنْتَ آخِذٌ بِهِ إِلَيَّ مِنْ وَصِيَّتِي, that the best that you should be taking from my advice is taqwa Allah, the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's kind of a long letter. But Ali begins by saying that the best that you can take from my advice is this taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because taqwa is that spiritual power. It works like protection for us. It is not isolation. Actually, it is insulation for us. You can even live in a morally corrupt, you know, society and environment, still protect yourself if you have this protection known as taqwa. It is immunization against, you know, vices and sins. And this is where we see that, you know, when a person has that ability, even if you put that person in the worst of situation, that person will still maintain his deen and mazhab and his values. Unlike the people who actually, for them, deen is just a cultural issue, which is tied to the society in which they move around, or the location where they are, as soon as you place them in a different environment, you don't even know them anymore. You take a flight from Tehran to London. This is the most obvious example, so I'm not really talking about hijab, but what can I do? That's the most obvious example. Go on any flight from London, from Tehran to London. Because of the laws of the land there, which is based on the Sharia, all the women in the women in that flight will have mantu, you know, the long coat and scarf, or chador. By the time the plane lands in Heathrow, actually even before that, when it leaves, you know, Iranian airspace, you will wondering, you know, when I was sleeping on my seat, was I moved to another plane? Because I don't see the same kind of, you know, travelers with me. This is where you come to realize that this is not taqwa. That deen and mazhab is actually conditioned by that environment only. As soon as you move them out to a different environment, the values change. But if you have that taqwa, which is consciousness of Allah's being in your life at every, you know, place and time, wherever you go with that protection for, with yourself. And so you're not influenced by the environment in that way. You know, Imam Muhammad Taqi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was married in the mid-teens to the daughter of Ma'mun al-Rashid. And there's all debate about it, whether, you know, Ma'mun al-Rashid's this desire to, you know, marry his daughter with this young imam, was it genuine? It could be. You know, if you see such a good, you know, person, why not? The issue of Imam Rida alayhi salam was different. And so somehow this marriage took place. And so now the newly married imam is living in Baghdad as the son-in-law of the Khalifa and the king of the empire, with all the comforts available to him. One of the, and this is where you have to see, a person living in that environment, maybe one of the issues was bring him here, get him married to our family, let him live in our environment, and he will be colored like us. Then this fadilat that the Ahlul Bayt have against others would be gone. Because the problem always was they could never bring themselves to that level of the Ahlul Bayt. And so what is the other option? Try to bring them down to them, their level. In that environment, a teenager, don't just look at him an imam now in that way, I'm just, you would like to relate to this issue of taqwa. In that environment with luxury and comfort and everything is affluence is there, one of the companions of the imam, he says, you know, the narration says, قَدْ رَآهُ الْحُسَيْنَ الْمَكَارِ فِي بَغْدَادِ. Hussein al-Makari was one of the narrators. He says, I saw him in Baghdad, muhatan bihalatin min al-ta'zimi wa al-takbir, takreem min qibl al-awsat al-rasmiya wa al-sha'biya. He lived in an environment, you know, of greatness and honor extended to him by the officials as well as the masses. The masses basically respected him because he's from Ali Rasul, his akhlaq and ilm, but also, you know, he's son of the Khalifa. And then this person, Hussein al-Makari, when he looked at the imam in that environment, a thought comes to his mind and he says, فَظَنَّ عَنَّ الْإِمَامُ سَوْفَ لَا يَرْجَعْ إِلَىٰ وَطَنِهِ يَثْرِبْ. That this imam, in this environment, he is never going to abandon this and go back to Medina. بَلْ يَقُومُ يقيم في بغداد راعيا في النعم والطرف. He's definitely going to settle down here permanently in this comfort and the affluence that he has. Imam, this person didn't say that. It's just his assumption and assessment of the situation. He's looking at the environment and the influence that it could have on the young Imam. Can I ask you to recite salawat and move on this side, please? So we have some room at the and that gate. So here Hussein al-Makari, looking at the Imam, a young person in his mid-teens, in that environment of affluence and comfort, being the son-in-law of the Khalifa, you know, the thought comes to his mind that this Imam will never leave Baghdad and go back to Medina. It's just a thought that he had. فَعِنْعَتَفَ عِلَيْهِ وَقَالَ لَهُ. The young Imam now turns towards Hussein al-Makari and he says, Ya Hussein, خبز الشعير وملح الجريش في حرم جد رسول الله أحب إلي ممن تراني فيه. Oh, Al-Hussein al-Makari, you have a thought which is wrong. For me, this simple, you know, what we call brown bread, which is now a healthy thing now. Those days, this was for the poor. Imam says, brown bread and coarse salt near the haram of my grandfather, Rasulullah, in Medina is more dear to me than what you see around me. Salawat padhne ek baar. This is where you have an environment where you are surrounded by influences which can take you away from, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the teachings and the values of Islam. But if you have that taqwa, an Imam's, you know, his title is at-taqi, you know, he is not influenced by that. And this is where we have to realize that when we talk about this issue of taqwa for young people, this is very important issue. Everything else is secondary, I would say. Unfortunately, we as parents don't have the right order of the priorities for our children. Taqwa is not even an issue to be discussed. People don't even know about it. We don't even talk to our, you know, young children on this issue. Whereas we have to realize that we, at whatever age we are, especially young people, you know, you always constantly find yourself at crossroads. Every day, many times. You see, there are two choices. One road is going towards evil. The other is going to the virtuous path. And you are there. You have to make a choice. And when you look at the path leading towards the evil, there is a lot of, you know, temptation there. You see the sparkling, glittering, everything over there. Whereas you're not able to see the end of that destination of the other path that you're going through. And that is the time where shaitan comes in. If you have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you have Allah's, you know, presence in your life at that time, then your choice will be to go to the path of virtue and not the path of evil. And so making the right choice is actually the major jihad. And that is the meaning of taqwa when we talk about it in our own life. The choices that we have to make, and people in different situations, especially the young people, of course, it's not restricted to them. You know, you have to make the choices. You're playing sports in the gym, including our gym here in the mosque, in the Islamic Center. Or you're playing, you know, computer games at home, and namaz time happens. What do you do? Now this sports, computer games, you can stop probably. You will say, well, you know, the sport, you're not alone. There's a whole team. How do we just interrupt it? Well, plan it before. Plan it in such a way that you can have either end your sports before namaz or have the break in between. You will only plan that if you had this thought that, okay, today we are starting at this time, but namaz comes at in between. How do we do this? It is the matter of making choice there. And that is actually the sign of taqwa. When we talk about this whole issue, you know, trendy dress styles, even if they don't have the standards of modesty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects from us, this whole issue of fitting in, this is again the lack of taqwa. Otherwise, our choice will always be to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. When we talk about this issue, you know, some people say, well, Mawlana, you know, I have friends at the school, especially the high school time. They arrange a party or something in a bar or somewhere where alcohol is being served, but I am sure I'm not going to drink. Why are you putting yourself into that environment? This is where you'll have to make the choice. And that is why we see that, you know, Imam Muhammad Taqi alayhi salatu wasalam, talks about this issue of friendship and companionship. We have to be selective. We can't just go with our like and dislike in that way. Any kind of friendship which is going to take us away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to stop that. It doesn't matter who is on the other side. And this is a choice that we have to make, especially in our, you know, youth age. Imam says, إِيَّاكَ وَمُصَاحِبَةَ الشَّرِيرِ. Imam says, I warn you against being companion of those who are evil. Now, evil means what? It's not that they have a, you know, criminal record and you check the police files for it. No. It's the akhlaq, the behavior, the attitude, the things that they do, which are going to influence, because friendship means influencing one another. Imam says that when you have evil friends, remember, فَإِنَّهُ كَالسَّيْفُ الْمَسْلُولُ يَحْسُنُ مَنْظُرُهُ وَيَقْبَهُ أَثَرُهُ. Imam says, evil friends are like a drawn, you know, sword. يَحْسُنُ مَنْظُرُهُ. You really like it. You hang it in your sitting room, don't you? We look for those decorative pieces. One of them is the sword. People like to hang that. Of course, we add the words La Fata Illa Ali, La Zulfiqar. That's another justification. That's fine. But by itself, even those who are not Shias, you know, this is kind of a good decorative piece. Imam says, yes, يَحْسُنُ مَنْظُرُهُ. When you look at it, it looks good. يَقْبَهُ أَثَرُهُ. But the result of using that is bad. If you really use sword not for decoration, for what is made, then you will have the spilling of the blood and you'll go to jail or you will be killed. And so Imam says, evil friends are like this sword. It looks good, you know, but when it comes to the influence of that and the result of that, it is evil. Salawat Pandana Iqbal. Another hadith from the ninth Imam on this issue where he says, قَدْ عَادَاكَ مَنْ سَطَرَ عَنْكَ الرُّشْدُ اتِّبَاعًا لِمَا تَهْوَاهُ. A person that whom you consider to be your friend, Imam says, if he actually takes you away from the rushd, from the right path, he knows this is the right path and he just doesn't say it to you, tries to move you away, and push you towards things that your desires want, Imam says he's not your friend. Aadaka, he's your enemy. And so when we talk about the definition of friend, what does friendship or companionship mean? We have to keep this in mind, that a friend should be somebody, you know, who can help you, that whenever you commit a mistake, a sincere friend will tell you, this is wrong, don't do it. And that is the sign of sincerity in friendship and companionship. Salawat Padhne Ke Baad. And so taqwa basically making the right choices. Even when it comes to the issue of, you know, income. There is no sabr. Everybody wants to become a millionaire overnight. And what happens? There are websites which say, you know, if you want to make money fast, in a house to sell drugs. Those people who don't have sabr and they don't have taqwa, they very easily get into it. Temptation is there. This is where we see, you know, the problems. They are around. Maybe in US it's more, but it's not that Canada is immune. And when we talk about Canada, it's not that our Muslim community is immune from it. They are gradually, things are coming and influencing Muslim youths also in general. And therefore, parents have to be more vigilant. Privacy is privacy, but as long as your son or daughter lives under your roof, it is your responsibility. You have to make sure, you know, what do they have? Are they, you know, they have drugs there? Or, na'uzu billah, you know, it can even be worse than that. And this is where we have to realize that when it comes to even this issue of, you know, becoming a millionaire overnight, this is a bala. Yes, you need to have money. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this dunya for the mu'mineen, not for fusaq. The blessings are for the mu'mineen. But the imtihan is to reach to that affluence and wealth in the right way. The end does not justify the means. You know, people say, well, what are you saying? We have to do charity, we have to take care of our family, we have to take care of our brothers and relatives. Silatul Rahim is so important. Yes, everything is important. But the means of reaching to that goal also has to be legitimate and halal. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually links this issue with taqwa in Surah Talaq, ayat number 2. Although it is in the context of talaq and, you know, maintenance and this and that, but the message of that ayat is universal. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Whoever exercises the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will find an escape route for him out of his problems, and he will provide for him مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ, from sources that he cannot even think of. So if you see there is a way, a haram way, which is a shorter way, quicker way of earning, then another way which is a longer one, but this is a legitimate one, taqwa demands that you go that way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I promise you, man yattaqillah. Whoever has this taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will find a makhraj. You know, the exit out of the problems that they have. And he will provide to them in a way that they cannot even comprehend or think of it. Salawat Padhne Ke Baad. And if you succeed in this Jihad-e-Akbar, again and again you make the right choice. A choice where Allah, Rasul, and the Imam of the time is going to be pleased with you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a promise for us. Where he says, in Surah An-Kubut, ayat number 69, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا, those who struggle in our path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِنَحْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا, Verily, we will show them different ways by which they can reach to us. Here it is Subul, not Sirat. Sirat is only one. People even use that to say, oh, religious pluralism. No. This is within that Sirat, there are many different lanes. Maybe you are on the slower one. If you hold on to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will move to the faster lane there. But within the same path, within the same Sirat, you have different subul. So he says, those who struggle for our sake, we will guide them to our subul. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verily, He is with those who are the good doers. Don't feel alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you when you have this consciousness of Allah's presence in the form of taqwa. Salawat. This Ayatul Kursi that we recite all the time. Look at the promise that Allah has there. Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu. Allah is the master of those who believe. What does He do? يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلَمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ He takes them out of ظُلَمَات. Many, many shades of darkness. He will take them out from one level to another, to a lighter. إِلَى النُّورِ Until they reach to the level of Noor. But for that to happen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you need to take the first step. Take the first step, be true mu'min, and I will come towards you. And I will pull you out from zulamat, different levels of darkness, until you come to the level of nur. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, provided we make the right choice, and that is where we will see the nur in the barzakh as well as in the akhirah. Salawat parnaik para. Let me end in English with one more hadith from our ninth imam, where he talks about even this issue of listening to people. He says, "Man asgha ila natiqin faqad abadahu." When you sit down and listen to a speaker, Imam says, in a way you are worshipping that fellow. So don't take this process of listening to a speaker that lightly. Because it is kind of ibadat. And then he says, فَإِنْ كَانَ النَّاطِقُ يُعَدِّي عَنِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ If the speaker is actually conveying the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَقَدْ عَبَدَ اللَّهِ Then that listener has actually worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنْ كَانَ النَّاطِقُ يُعَدِّي عَنِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَقَدْ عَبَدَ الشَّيْطَانِ And if the message coming from that speaker is actually the message of shaitan, then that listener, it's not just, hearing it. We are talking about listening. There is a difference between hearing and listening. Many husbands hear their wives, but they don't listen to her. There is a difference in that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you listen, which means you imbibe it, accept it, and then act on it. Then you're actually worshipping that person. And if the message is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are worshipping Allah. And if the message is from the shaitan, then you're worshipping the shaitan. But be assured, in the words of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ahlul Batil, they will never come to you as a mu'min, as a Muslim, as a Shia, and present to you batil in its pure form. Because they know if you present batil, which is obviously wrong to a mu'min, they know this is wrong. Amir al-Mu'mineen says they always create shubha. What is shubha? You know the word shabi? You know, we take out the tabut, we call it, this is the shabi of the tabut or lash in Gujarati. So this is a replica, similar to the tabut. Or we have, you know, the replica of the Zari and shrines here, we say this is shabi. So shabi means something which is not actual but looks like it. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, whoever comes to you to misguide you, he will never bring batil in its pure form. Because a mu'min knows, and he will immediately identify it and stay away from it. He will take little bit of batil, little bit of haqq, mix it, and that is known as shubha, and creates confusion and weakens the faith. And this is the message of Imam Muhammad Taqi alayhi salatu wassalam. Salawat alayhi wa sallam. I would like to end with a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where he says, لا يزال العبد قائما يوم القيامة بين يد الله عز وجل حتى يسأله أن عرب خصال. That no person on the day of Qiyamah will stand in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the judgment, but that he will be asked four things. The very first one, عمرك فيما أفنيته. The first question will be about your life. How did you spend your life? Interestingly, the same hadith in a different wordings from the sixth Imam explains not just life. It says you will be asked about your youth age. There is childhood, youth age, and then your adulthood. You will be asked, that age, and we're talking about a young imam, how did you use that? Your energy, your potential is there. Was it used the right way? Or was it wasted in things which were really not lasting impact in your life? And so that issue of shabab is very important here. So Rasulullah talks about life, and the imam actually goes more into detail by saying you will be asked about your youth age. How did you spend it? Number two was jasadika fima ablaytuhu. How did you use your body? Number two, the body is the amana that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, the ability to do things. He wants to see whether we use it in the right way or the wrong way. Number three, wa malika min ayna kasabtuhu wa ayna wada'tuhu. Third question would be about your wealth. How did you acquire it and how you spent it? There is a question in earning it, and also the question about spending it. And number four, the fourth question everybody will be asked, besides the life and the body and the wealth, وَعَنْ حُبِّنَا أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. The question would be, do you have the love for the Ahlul Bayt or not? Salawat panadik barawat. Muhabbat Ahlul Bayt, bahut hi ahem wasila hai hamari kamyabi ke liye. Khud Quran mein Khudawand Alam ne hukm diya hai. Aur Rasool ne bhi aur Aimma ne bhi is par bahut taakid ki hai. اور اس حدیث میں بھی رسول کی کہ چار چیزوں کے بارے میں سوال ہوگا, آپ کے عمر و جوانی کے بارے میں, آپ کے جسم کے بارے میں کس طرح سے یوز کیا ہے, آپ کے مال کے بارے میں کس طرح سے حاصل کیا, کس طرح سے مصرف کیا اس کا, اور حب اہل بیت کے بارے میں. محبت اہل بیت کا اظہار, اس کا ایکسپریشن جو ہے مختلف طریقے سے ہوتا ہے. ये जो मजलिस आप बैठ के कर रहे हैं ये भी इजहार मोहब्बत अहले बैत है। संडे इवनिंग का टाइम आपने बजाय उधर उधर लगाने के यहाँ मसरफ कर रहे हैं, ये इसलिए कि आपको अहले बैत से मोहब्बत है, आपकी ज़िंदगी में ये एक अहम प्रायोरिटी है। और इस सिलसिले में ज़ियारात का सिलसिला है, बहुत कुछ हम लोग करते हैं अहले बैत के लिए। एक कन्वर्सेशन मूसा बिन अल-क़ासिम और इमाम मोहम्मद तक़ी अलैहिस्सलाम के सिलसिले में आपके सामने पेश करना चाहेंगे, सलावात पढ़ने एक बार और। उसका कह रहा है कि एक बार हम इमाम की खिदमत में पहुँचे और हमने कहा कि जब हम हज पे जाते हैं अपने अरकान वगैरह के अलावा, तवाफ जो है बाई इटसेल्फ यू कैन डू इट एज ए सुन्नत, इट्स एन एक्ट बाई इटसेल्फ बिसाइज द अरकान हज या उमरा के, एंड यू कैन डू दैट ऑन बिहाफ ऑफ अदर्स ऑल्सो, मल्टीपल नीयत्स हो सकती है। तो उसने कहा कि हम जब जाते हैं तो हम कोशिश करते हैं कि हम तवाफ़ करें आपकी तरफ से और आपके बाबा इमाम रज़ा की तरफ से। तो जब हमने अपने दोस्तों से कहा कि हम जो हैं इमाम के लिए तवाफ़ करते हैं या उनके बाबा के लिए तवाफ़ करते हैं, तो किसी ने कहा कि भाई तुम क्या करते हो, ये दे डोंट नीड दैट, इन्हें ज़रूरत नहीं है। तो हम अपने क्लैरिटी के लिए हम आपसे ये सवाल कर रहे हैं, क्या ये जो काम हम करते हैं सही है या नहीं। इमाम ने कहा कि बल्तिफ़ मा अमकनका फ़इन्न ज़ालिका जायज़, तुम जाके तवाफ़ करो जितना कर सकते हो, इसलिए कि इसमें कोई कबाहत नहीं है, ये जायज़ है। फिर वो 3 साल के बाद दोबारा इमाम से मिला और वो कहता है कि मौला हमने आपसे तवाफ़ के बारे में पूछा था और आपने इजाज़त दी थी कि हम आपकी तरफ से तवाफ़ कर सकते हैं आपके बाबा की तरफ से, तो आपने इजाज़त दी लेकिन हम कुछ और भी करते हैं। अब वो हमारे दिल में ये भी सवाल है कि वो हम जो एक्स्ट्रा करते हैं वो सही है कि नहीं। तो इमाम ने कहा माँ हुआ, ये जो एक्स्ट्रा तुम करते हो क्या है। तो उसने कहा हम एक दिन जो है वहाँ जब मक्का में रहते हैं एक दिन तवाफ़ करते हैं रसूलुल्लाह के लिए। तो इमाम ने 3 बार कहा सल्लल्लाहु अला रसूलिल्लाह, सलावात पढ़ने पर आओ, यानी इमाम ने कहा कि ये अच्छा काम है। फिर उसने कहा नेक्स्ट डे हम अमीरुल मोमिनीन की तरफ से तवाफ़ करते हैं, उनके लिए हदिया करते हैं। देन थर्ड डे इमाम हसन के लिए हम तवाफ़ करते हैं, फोर्थ डे इमाम हुसैन के लिए, 5वें दिन इमाम ज़ैनुलाबिदीन के लिए, 6ठे दिन इमाम मोहम्मद बाकर के लिए, 7वें दिन इमाम जाफ़र सादिक़ अलैहिस्सलाम के लिए, और इसी तरह से उनके बाबा तक, और इमाम मूसा काज़िम अलैहिस्सलाम, फिर आपके बाबा इमाम रज़ा अलैहिस्सलाम के लिए, और 10वें दिन हम आपकी तरफ से तवाफ़ करते हैं। وَهَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ أَدِينُ اللَّهَ بِوِلَايَتِهِمْ, और ये हम इसलिए करते हैं कि हमारा दीन जो है उन्हीं की विलायत और मोहब्बत पर मबना है। तो इमाम फरमाते हैं इज़न वल्लाहि तदीनु اللَّهَ بِالدِّينِ الَّذِينَ لَا يُقْبَلُ مِنَ الْعِبَادِ غَيْرُهُ, कि बेशक तुम उस दीन पर अमल करते हो कि जिस दीन को खुदावंद आलम इस विलायत और मोहब्बत के बग़ैर कबूल नहीं करेगा, सलावात पढ़ने पर। रसूल का नाम लिया, आइम्मा का नाम लिया, नवे इमाम तक। फिर उसने जुरत करके कहा वह रुब्बमा तिफ्तु अन उम्मिक फ़ातिमा, और कभी कभी हम आपके जद्दा जनाब फ़ातिमा को याद करके उनके लिए तवाफ़ करते हैं। इमाम फरमाते हैं इस्तग़फिर मिन हाज़ा, जितना ज़्यादा तवाफ़ कर सकते हो मेरी जद्दा फ़ातिमा के लिए करो, फ़इन्नहु अफ़ज़लु मा अंत आमिलुहु इंशाअल्लाह, इसलिए कि जो तुम एक्स्ट्रा काम करते हो मुस्तहबात, उनमें सबसे अफजल यही है कि आप फ़ातिमा को याद करके तवाफ़ करके उसका हदिया जो है बीबी तक पहुँचा लें, सलावात पढ़ने के पारा। तो ये विला और मोहब्बत का सिलसिला जो है ये हमारे लिए बहुत ही अहम उनसर है, और उनकी खुशियों को मनाना ان کے غم کو منانا یہ بہت ہی اہم ہے ہمارے لیے، اسی لیے ہم لوگ جمع ہوئے ہیں آج۔ امام کی وفات ہوئی ہے جب صرف وہ 25 سال کے تھے۔ ایج بذات خود جو ہے دلیل ہے کہ یہ کوئی نارمل یہ ڈیتھ کی بات نہیں تھی۔ مامون الرشید تو مر گیا، اس کے بعد اس کے بھائی معتصم اور پھر جعفر جو وزیر تھا اس وقت، ان لوگوں کو امام کے شہرت اور علم اور اخلاق کی بنیاد پر وہ فیل کر رہے تھے کہ ہمارے لیے خطرہ ہیں، دے وے فیلنگ تھریٹنڈ۔ تو وہ امام کو جو ہے مدینہ سے بلواتے ہیں دوبارہ بغداد۔ امام دوبارہ نہیں گئے، شادی کے بعد جب گئے تو دوبارہ ہی دین کم بیک ٹو مدینہ ٹو بغداد۔ تو مدینہ سے بغداد بلاتے ہیں تاکہ ہماری نظروں میں رہیں گے، وی کین کنٹرول اینڈ ہیو سرویلنس اینڈ ایوری تھنگ۔ اور اسی زمانے میں مامون الرشید جو کی جو بیٹی تھی ام الفضل، جو امام کی زوجہ تھی، خدا نے اس سے امام کو اولاد نہیں دی، امام کے نسل کا سلسلہ ایک اور زوجہ سے چلا ہے۔ اور اس کے وجہ سے اس بی بی کے دل میں بہرحال غصہ تھا، بغض تھا ایک لحاظ سے۔ معتصم اور اس کے بھائی جعفر نے اس کو کنونس کیا کہ کھانے میں تم زہر دے دو ان کو۔ وہی بات جو امام حسن مشتبہ کے ساتھ ہوا ہے، وہی بات جو ہے ان کے ساتھ ہوئی ہے۔ انگور میں، دوبارہ یہاں پر انگور ہی استعمال کیا گیا تھا، اور وہ لے آئی ایک پلیٹ میں، بہت اصرار کرتی ہے کہ اچھے انگور ہیں آپ کھائیں۔ اور امام نے، لگتا ہے کہ یہ اتنا خطرناک زہر تھا کہ اس کا اثر فوراً ہی ہوا ہے، امام محمد تقی جواد نے کھانے کے بعد ہی اس سے کہا کہ خدا اس کا بدلہ تجھے اس دنیا ہی میں دے گا، اس بیماری میں مبتلا کرے گا جس کا کوئی علاج نہیں ہوگا، اور اس علاج میں تمہاری دولت بھی ختم ہو جائے گی اور فقر و فاقے میں تم مرو گی۔ اور اسی کرب و حضیت میں امام رہے ہیں، اور بغداد میں یہ ہوا ہے۔ آج ہم لوگ پرسہ کے لیے بیٹھے ہوئے ہیں امام علی نقی علیہ السلام کی خدمت میں، جناب حکیمہ کی خدمت میں جو امام کی بیٹی تھی۔ بس ایک جملہ ہم کہنا چاہیں گے کہ بغداد میں زہر دیا گیا، امام کو اس ایک لحاظ سے ریلیٹیولی جوانی کے دور میں زہر دیا گیا ہے، 25 سال کی عمر تھی۔ لیکن ظاہری رکھ رکھاؤ کی بنیاد پر معتصم اور اس کے بھائی نے مل کے آفیشیل طور پہ نماز جنازہ کا اہتمام کیا۔ بغداد کے مین میدان میں امام کے جنازے کو لایا گیا، معتصم بھی موجود تھا، اس کے بھائی جعفر بھی موجود تھا۔ بازار میں بالکل ہی تعطیل اور چھٹی کر دی گئی تھی غم کے نام سے، بہت بڑا اجتہام تھا۔ اور یہ جنازہ وہاں نماز کے بعد اٹھایا گیا ہے، قریش کے قبرستان میں لاتے ہیں، امام موسیٰ کاظم علیہ السلام ان کے دادا کے قبر کے پہلو میں امام جواد کو بھی دفن کیا جاتا ہے۔ اس لیے آپ دیکھتے ہیں وہاں بغداد کے پاس جو علاقہ ہے کاظمین، وہ دو قبر، وہ امام موسیٰ کاظم اور جناب امام محمد تقی کی قبر ہے۔ عزت و شان کے ساتھ یہ جنازہ اٹھا تھا۔ بس ہم جناب حکیمہ خاتون سے اور امام علی النقی علیہ السلام سے صرف اتنا کہیں گے کہ یہ جنازہ بغداد میں اٹھا ہے، جو مدینہ رسول نہیں تھا، بہت دور تھا رسول کے شہر سے، لیکن عزت کے ساتھ اٹھایا گیا، اور ان کو ان کے دادا، ان کے جد کے پہلو میں دفن کر دیا گیا۔ مجھے ایک اور امام یاد آتا ہے جس کی یہی تمنا تھی کہ اس کو بھی اس کے نانا کے پہلو میں دفن کیا جائے۔ وہ بغداد کی بات نہیں ہے، رسول کے بعد کئی ڈیکیڈز کی بات نہیں ہے، بلکہ یہ رسول کا نواسا ہے جو رسول کے گود میں بڑا ہوا ہے اور کھیلا ہے۔ لیکن جب اس کا جنازہ اٹھتا ہے اور حسین ابن علی لے کے جنازے کے جاتے ہیں، آل مروان اور ان کے جو ساتھی تھے، انہوں نے آ کے روکا ہے
یہاں تک کہ جب اسرار ہوا تو ان لوگوں نے تیروں کی بارش کی ہے امام حسن مجتبیٰ کی لاش پر، اس تابوت کو پر تیروں کی بارش ہو جاتی ہے۔ اس وقت بنو ہاشم کے جوانوں نے اپنی تلوار کو نکال لی اور کہا کہ ہم تلوار کے سائے میں امام مجتبیٰ کے اس تابوت کو اے رسول اللہ کے قبر کے طواف کے لیے لے جائیں گے، لیکن حسین ابن علی نے روکا ہے، کہا ہے کہ بھائی کی وصیت نے میرے ہاتھ کو باندھ دیا ہے، بس حسین سے اتنا کہیں گے آپ اپنے بھائی کی وصیت کے ہاتھ بننے کی بات کی ہے۔ لیکن ایک اور بیٹا یاد آتا ہے، اسیری کی ابتدائی منزل ہے، بابا کے لاشے کو کربلا میں دیکھتا ہے، بھائی اور چچاؤں کے لاش کو دیکھتا ہے، لیکن اس کے ہاتھ میں ہتھکڑی تھی، پیر میں بیڑیاں لگی ہوئی تھی، وہ باپ کے لاشے کو بے گور و کفن کربلا میں چھوڑ کے جاتا ہے۔ الا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين سيعلم الذين ظلموا اي منقلب ينقلبون۔ ماتم حسین۔